here's a story from The World.
There's good news today in the fight to help vaccinate the globe. The White House is said to have made a deal with Pfizer to provide 500 million doses of coronavirus vaccine for about 100 countries over the next 2 years. President Biden is expected to announce the deal at the upcoming G7 summit in England. The White House has been under pressure to do more to address worldwide vaccine shortages. Those shortages are especially acute in less wealthy nations, where the spread of highly contagious new virus variants means that for many, the worst of the pandemic may be yet to come. That's according to writer Zeynep Tufekci. She's an associate professor at the University of North Carolina. I asked Tufekci why the Delta variant of COVID-19, a strain first identified in India, has just gotten a lot more ominous.
We recently got data from the United Kingdom that indeed it is more transmissible, which is terrible because transmissibility is an exponential threat. Plus, to make things worse, it also appears to be more severe. The combination, something that can spread really rapidly and is also more severe, is catastrophic for a lot of countries for a variety of reasons, have either had mild outbreaks until now and don't have mass vaccination. In essence, they're sitting ducks because they haven't had any chance to build immunity. And something like this can burn through their country like wildfire. We saw this happen in India. We saw this happen in Nepal. And I'm really worried for the rest of the world, as bad as things have been here, which was terrible. There were a lot of places that kind of escaped it. And we didn't completely understand. There might have been a sort of combination of factors. But right now, it could just be that this tips it over for them too. And then they get very rapid outbreaks.
And was the Delta variant critical to this recent massive surge in cases in India?
The UK data is very much suggesting that's exactly what happened. And there's a lot of countries that are in the same position India was a couple of months ago, essentially sitting ducks. And this is a terrible thing to imagine because it would mean the pandemic would end sooner, because all pandemics end, but in a tragic way because millions, maybe billions, get infected before they have a chance to be vaccinated.
What you're saying, Zeynep, if I have this right, that ultimately more people might die of COVID after we have vaccines that could save them.
That is absolutely correct. And this is what's been gutting me, because we had this before with HIV/AIDS. More people died of HIV/AIDS after we had drugs that worked to save lives. And we may have a repeat of it in a way, in that we have vaccines that could help save all these people. And we haven't increased the supply, nor do we have a sensible distribution system. I mean, yes, of course, I completely support access to vaccination by everybody, including adolescents. But wealthy countries are debating whether to vaccinate their adolescents, while healthcare workers in Africa have not had any shots for the most part. What we need is for the world to lead, for the United States, including, you know, the sort of big vaccine producing countries, and say, we are going to do everything in our power to take over every last bit of spare capacity and figure out a way to increase the supply any way we can, as soon as we can. You know, we have US and Canada and, you know, Europe, we've ordered vaccine supplies many times our need. We're vaccinating our teenagers while the rest of the world is just sitting ducks for this potential catastrophe. And I feel that it's a moral stain that we've not really grappled with what we're doing and what we're not doing. And in countries like ours, people can just walk into a pharmacy and get vaccinated. So we're going to forget about the terrible reality that the pandemic is far, far from over.
So here in the vaccine on demand part of the world, I mean, I see in Washington State, you'll get a joint if you go in for a shot. How much should we be worrying about breakthrough cases? I mean, if I'm vaccinated, do I still need to worry about my own health because of variants?
This comes down to how you view risk. The other coronaviruses that are endemic, they just cause us mild colds and we get exposed to them as children and our immune system knows what to do with it. So once you're vaccinated, even if you see a version of it, a breakthrough case that just produces symptoms, we should watch to see if some breakthrough cases become severe or cause death. But from all data I've seen, that happens not only very rarely, It happens especially among the elderly, but that is just a fact of being elderly. The elderly sometimes have fatal outbreaks from the common cold. A vaccine doesn't give you immortality. The immune system gets weaker as we age. So what I've seen is really encouraging. So personally speaking, if I had tested positive before I was vaccinated, I'd be worried till I was completely out of the woods. Whereas right now, as a vaccinated person, if for some reason I was tested and found I have a positive, which means the virus is just a little bit replicating in my nose or something like that, I view it as a curiosity personally. And unless something happened, I wouldn't even think about it.
Zeynep, for the U.S. and other countries that are well vaccinated, there is obvious national self-interest in seeing the rest of the world vaccinated quickly. But as you said, many African healthcare workers even have not been vaccinated. In South Africa, not even 1% of the population is vaccinated. Help us understand why Western countries don't seem to make that connection to as many people as possible on planet Earth getting vaccinated.
I don't understand it either. We let millions of people die from AIDS, even when in that particular case, it was even more of a moral stain because the drug was easy to produce and we didn't even let them. In this case, it's not easy to produce. We need proactive intervention. We need, ideally, the White House to lead, not just say, here's some donated vaccines, which is good, and we don't care about patents, which is good too, because this is such a complicated thing. Like, handing me a recipe for a croissant isn't going to do anything. I cannot make a croissant, even if you give me the recipe for it. It's a bit like that. You need expertise and supplies and this and that. Vaccine production is very difficult, and we need to help increase that capacity. And we're not doing it. And billions of our fellow humans are at great risk. And I'm not saying we should do this because some variant may hit us in the future. I think just morally speaking, that shouldn't even be the reason we think about this. It's something we can do. It's just money and it's just effort. Like nobody's asking us to go take huge risks. And we're not even doing that. I think partly because we don't feel as much risk anymore. And I just find that tragic.
Realistically, what is the end game? Or do you see a future end up with very different end games for the haves and others for the have-nots?
So the end game is that everybody in the world is likely going to encounter this virus in one form or another, probably fairly soon. And that is either through vaccination or infection. If we sit on our hands or do very little, billions of people are going to encounter this virus through infection and all the risks that entail. So I don't see that it's going to be necessarily prolonged, because the idea that all these countries are going to be able to hold all of this off with mitigations while they wait for vaccination for years, that's not true. They'll have outbreaks and they'll get infected. So the end game is everybody's going to encounter this virus one way or another, and we have an affirmative choice on whether that's going to be through vaccination, the humane way our science allows, or through infection, which is a catastrophic option, in my view, to let happen. So that's the end game. I'm just being like, this is kind of this very clear, realistic thing that I don't think we talk about enough.
Zeynep Tufekci is an associate professor at the University of North Carolina and a writer for The New York Times and The Atlantic. Zeynep, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.